In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, today. Amen. Today we're honoring in the Vatican or in Rome the chains of Saint Peter, or Peter in chains. It is also if you've ever been to that parish, that church, there's a statue of Moses in there, and that's the statue that when Moses finished carving the statue of Moses, he threw the hammer at it and he said, "Speak to me." It looked so alive. I mean, you could see the talent that was there. It's just amazing. But tonight we begin with volume 25, 322, 1929. And Jesus says, "So it shall be with the kingdom of my divine will." And he says, I, Jesus, have called you, Louisa, as a second mother of mine. Okay, so this is scriptural. Jesus says, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" He says, "Those that do the will of the Father." And with Louisa now, she's the firstborn to live in the will of God. So here we get this understanding as we're going to have this intimacy with Jesus in a way that Mary had, the Blessed Mother had. This intimacy with God is why we are alive today. This intimacy is the most important thing that our God wants us to participate in. That's why he calls heaven the wedding feast. And he came to earth to find a bride. He's going to marry the Holy Church collectively, but individually, Jesus teaches Louisa, "I'm going to marry each person individually as if they had their own Jesus." Now you think about that. We have our own fingerprints, our own irises, our own sizes, voices, shapes. And Jesus loves that. He loves our uniqueness. And what he wants to do is he wants us to respond to him in that unique way, loving him. The only way, we're the only ones that can love God the way God has breathed into us, the Spirit of God within us. Nobody can love God the way each and every one of us loves God. It's individual. It's personal. It's intimate. And like, for example, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament and adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, and worshiping God, nobody can do that the way you can. See, this uniqueness is what he loves, and this is what he wants. He says, "I am going to make each of my children my divine masterpiece." So we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, we strive for perfection. We strive with listening to the saints, following our dogma and doctrine, wanting to get closer and closer to God. And Jesus now, he said to the apostles, "Be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect." How do you become perfect? How do you live this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary? And that's what he did with Louisa. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. And our God wants us to begin to understand this mystery, these secrets. He says to Louisa in volume 17, May 4th, 1925, he says to Louisa, "I'm giving to you the secrets of the Holy Spirit." And then from that, he says that you will be able to, then what I tell you, what you put down on paper, humanity can begin to understand. And the thing about these teachings of Jesus, these lessons of Jesus, is every time you read them, he keeps on expanding our capacity so that we understand more. And then you read it again and you study it again, and then there's more. Then that's how our God is working. So he says, "I called you, Louisa, to be as a second mother of mine, and one-on-one, just as I did with the Blessed Mother in the kingdom of redemption, I now manifested to you, Louisa, the many secrets of my divine fiat, the great good of the divine fiat, and how the divine fiat wants to come to reign upon earth." So the first thing he says is, I've manifested to you these secrets, these treasures, these blessings, these graces. He says that that you, Louisa, through what I teach you, Louisa, what you put down on paper, others will begin to embrace. So think about that. This is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. Pope John Paul II said, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. This is what we're entering into. When he, at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, he said, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So this is what Jesus is doing. I manifest to you, and now to us, the many secrets of the divine fiat, the great good of the divine fiat, how the divine fiat wants to come to reign upon earth. And then he says, I can say that I, God, have done everything. And if I called my priest so that you, Louisa, might open yourself in order to make the divine will known, the divine will is centered in Louisa, my intent was so that he, the priest, would have the interest in making known a good so great. So as this is when you read what the theologians have said in Rome, when the first two that went through the writings of Louisa, all the writings of Louisa, their response is, we thank God that we had this opportunity to read and to study. They were bubbling with joy because of what they were reading. And it's the same thing now. I can say, I, God, have done everything. And if I called my priest, the priesthood, to you, Louisa, that you might open yourself in order to make the divine will known, it is my intent, God's intent, that he would have the interest in making known a good so great. So as the priests, as the bishops, as the deacons begin to read this, their homilies change. What happens is, like I've mentioned before, sacred scripture comes alive. The dogma and doctrine become alive. It's like, when you read the lives of the saints, you go, oh, this is why they did this. It's everything is a perfect plan of God. And he, in his divine wisdom, he has planned everything out. And those that want this, he says, will embrace it as much as they want, 30, 60, or 100-fold. So he says this, and if this interest were not there in the priests on the part of those who should occupy themselves with it, they would put the kingdom of my divine will at risk of dying upon its rising, okay? Becoming themselves responsible for all the good that a kingdom that is so holy can bring. So he's showing us that this new and divine way of holiness is placed in the hands of the church, in the hands of the priests. This new and divine way of holiness is how we are supposed to begin to live this life. He said, I have to purify my church. I have to purify the world because this gift of the divine will is so amazing. That's not the word he used, but it's so beautiful. It's so powerful. It's so everything that perfection is needed. So like this Lent, you know, we pray, fast, do penance. We convert. This Lent is a time to really learn how to give up, surrender, die to our human will, not letting the human will reign us. Okay, what's the human will? The human will is when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. That's what we do in confession. And I'm going to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Now, at that point, Jesus says, good. I want you to be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. So what's happening is the Lord is leading us step by step, closer and closer to him. And that's why he says, if you have the book of heaven, Jesus said, Jesus, have given this book to you. I knew from the beginning of time that I predestined you to live at this time to have the book of heaven. So if you have the book of heaven, this is what Jesus is saying. We have a duty and responsibility back to God. He says, we should occupy ourselves with the book of heaven, this gift of gifts, Otherwise, we'll be responsible for all the good that this kingdom of the divine will that is so holy can bring. Or they would deserve that, putting them aside. See, this is the other sad part. If God has planned this from the beginning of time for the priests, if you put the books aside, then I call others to take your place. That would be the saddest thing in heaven, knowing that the crown that God had planned for the priests is somebody else is wearing your crown. Because you said, I really don't want this. I want to do what I want to do. That's the human will. So Jesus says, if I call others to become the proclaimers, to become the propagators of the knowledges of my divine fiat. So these truths, these promises, these secrets, these treasures, these knowledges that Jesus is talking about, these lessons of Jesus, as we read them, as we study them, as we put them into practice, the Lord goes, good. He says, you are becoming like this blood relationship with me, as my mother, as my brothers, as my sisters. He says, you begin to have this intimacy with God that everybody's been longing for 2,000 years. Why 2,000 years? Jesus says, because now is the time to begin to live this life. That's why Our Lady in Rome in 1947 said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And it's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The new era is beginning. How do we know it's beginning? Jesus says, I'm going to show you the way and the how with the book of heaven that he gave to Louisa of how this is going to happen. So he says this, until I find some priests who have interest to take to heart, to make known its knowledges more than if it were their own lives, the kingdom of my divine will can have neither its beginning nor its life upon earth. So Jesus is waiting for the priests to do this. And the glorious thing is every priest is going to be put in a situation where God is going to say basically to them, as things get rougher, things are going to get really rough. Let me clue you. And each priest is going to have to decide, how do I continue? How am I going to continue? And the only way to continue is, in my understanding, is with the book of heaven. You have Jesus every day instructing, Jesus every day giving us lessons. And even if we're reading the same thing every day, each priest receives a different understanding. Okay. That's how great our God is. When I talk to doctors who are reading the book of heaven and we read the same passage, they come up with some very interesting things. A friend of mine was a chemist and he understood things from a chemical perspective. And when he was reading the book of heaven, he says, you know what this means chemically? And he would explain it. And I'd go, I could never come to that conclusion. But see, every person, if you're a farmer, you're going to see things from a farmer's perspective, a doctor's perspective, a scientist's perspective, a mother's perspective. As we read this, Jesus is actually speaking to each and every one of us in our unique language, if you want to say. He knows us, and he knows how to make us aware of what he has planned for us. Each of us, if you think of a white canvas, each of us, God's got a different plan for each and every one of us. And when you go to a museum and you see all the amazing masterpieces, that's humanity to Jesus. What he is going to do is he says, I am going to make each of my children my divine masterpiece that I am going to enjoy. And this is this intimacy that God wants with humanity. This is when God breathed into Adam. Adam came in God's image and likeness. You have to think, what was Adam's DNA like? What was his DNA like? Image and likeness of God. What's our DNA? Get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, become food for worms. That's not part of God's plan. He says to Louisa, I want my children to reflect me, to look like God, Not that we're going to become gods, but to share in divinity. This is what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, put in the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Amazing things are right around the corner. And it's going to get rough. Why is it going to get rough? Because the evil one knows what's happening. He sees the writing on the wall. He's a good guesser, and he knows his time is coming to an end. So volume 26, 7, 14, 19, 20 now. Now, after I became sure about you, Louisa, and that's what God is doing now. He wants to make sure of who we are. He wants to make sure that we want what he wants, not for our own good, but for the glory of God, for the salvation of souls. After I became sure about you, I secured my work. My acting changed. And then he says, and I made you break the silence and the ardor of my instructions and of my speaking was such and so great that I can call you, Louisa, the cathedra of my divine will. Today we you know, honoring Peter in chains, the chair of Peter, you know, it's on February 22nd. This is, Our Lady is the seat of wisdom. Louisa is the cathedra, the seat of the divine will. Where do we learn about the divine will? Jesus said to Louisa, I've talked to no one about this except for you. They have given hints. I mean, when you look at Saint Teresa or Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, when you look at Saint Dina Bellinger or Blessed Dina Bellinger, when you look at Maximian Kolbe, when you look at Saint John Paul II, you get a glimpse of God is overflowing with love because of Louisa. And he's leading everyone to begin to embrace this gift. As he said to Louisa, as he said to Saint Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. Yeah. Those are the words of Jesus to Saint Faustina is, Jesus, I trust in you. This is glorious. It's a glorious time to be alive. So Jesus says, now, as I became sure about you, I secured my work. I changed my acting with you. I made you break the silence and the ardor of my instructions. And of speaking of such and such so great, I now can call you, Louisa, the cathedra of my divine will, the secretary of its most intimate secrets. See, everything is secret to God. God loves things that are hidden. Look at Bethlehem. A few wise men showed up and a few shepherds showed up. No priests, no holy people. Joseph and Mary were there. Why? He loves things that are hidden. He loves things that are secret. The greatest secret, like we've mentioned before, is the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And the churches are empty. Some of them are locked. The greatest secret on earth is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, is there in the Blessed Sacrament, the tabernacle of love, prisoner of love, and nobody's there. And so Jesus says, now I'm going to give to you, Louisa, its most intimate secrets of the divine will, such that as you are unable to contain them all within yourself, I now command you, this is Jesus commanding Louisa, to manifest them to the priest. The priests are the one that are going to receive this because this is the first bread. This is the bread. Jesus, if when you read the three appeals, Louisa says to the priests, you are giving the people a cold and stale bread, hard to digest. She says, when you begin to read the divine will, they will begin to be fed with this first bread. And they said they will fall in love with it. So this is what's coming. I commanded you to manifest them to my priests, all these secrets, the intimate secrets. And this acting of mine was necessary. Otherwise, how would my divine will have become known? So Jesus says, the way it's going to be done is through his holy church. The way he's going to do this is with the priests. And I know a lot of people complain about priests and bishops. We are called not to complain, but to pray for the priests and the bishops. It's necessary. Again, you remember when you listen to the lives of the saints, the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. Another saint said, the pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. If one person goes to hell and they're in charge of that person, Jesus is going to look at the priest or the bishop. Why did this person end up in hell? What did you do to help them? What did you do to bring them to me? What did you do for them? And the priesthood, the priests are going to be judged severely. And as Jesus says, severely punished. There's a duty and responsibility that the priesthood has. And it's not for us, it's for the glory of God, the salvation of souls. Volume 20, so again, going back, it's Jesus who commanded Louisa to tell the priests all that she knew. And this is why she wrote the book. She was obedient to her confessor. The confessor said to her, I want you to write everything that I have said, everything that Jesus have told you. I want you to put that down in paper or you're going to be punished by going to hell. So Louisa says, I'll do anything you want. I don't want to go to hell. So she did not want to write anything down because she says it was too intimate with her life and Jesus's life. But she said, I will go through this sorrow, this suffering that I have to go through to do this. And Jesus says, then he said to Louisa, he said, the most intimate, no one will ever know. The most intimacy that I had with you. Now, this is not, I know some people go, oh, I don't want to hear anything. No, God has intimacy with us. Each and every one of us, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he's speaking to us. He's breathing in us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So Louisa, she says, thank you, Jesus. She says, thank you, because it's not for anybody, but for the husband and wife. It's not for anybody. This mystical marriage that on earth, this wedding feast of heaven is why it's going to be as if you have your own personal Jesus. This is what's so astonishing. Volume 27, 130-30. My daughter, there is much allegory between the way in which redemption unfolded and the way in which the kingdom of my divine will shall unfold. So as Jesus brought about the kingdom of redemption, now the kingdom of sanctification is going to happen. It's going to be similar. See, in my redemption, I chose a virgin, Mary. And in appearance, Mary had no importance according to the world, either of riches or height of dignity or positions that would indicate Our Lady. And her very city of Nazareth was not important. This tiny little house was her whole abode. But even though I chose the Blessed Mother from Nazareth, I wanted for it to belong to the capital of Jerusalem, in which there was the body of the pontiffs and of the priests who then represented me and announced my laws. For the kingdom of my divine will, I have chosen another virgin, Louisa, who in appearance has no importance either of great riches or height or of dignity. The very city of Corrado is not an important city. It belongs to Rome, in which resides my representative on earth, the Roman pontiff, from whom come my divine laws. And just as the Roman pontiff makes his duty to make my redemption known to the peoples, so shall he make it his duty to make known the kingdom of my divine will. The Pope is going to do this. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. The Pope is going to do this. And we pray for that pontiff. We were hoping it was John Paul II. We were hoping it was Pope Benedict, and it still might. We were hoping it was Pope Francis, and it still might. But we pray for that pontiff, that whatever God has planned, it is accomplished according to what God has planned from the beginning of time. Everything is in God's hands. And this is what he says. It shall be his duty, the Pope's duty, to make known the kingdom of my divine will. That's our hope. Our Christian hope is certitude. And we are certain that this is going to happen. Don't panic. Don't be upset. Don't be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. But know that Jesus says it's the Holy Father that's going to do this. It can't be said that one and the other shall proceed in the same way and manner as the kingdom of my supreme fiat must unfold. So as Jesus and Mary were in Nazareth, Jesus and Louisa were in Corrado. And as Nazareth was obedient to Jerusalem, Corrado was obedient to Rome. And great things are in store. Wait till you read the last chapter of I Am 24. It says there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The dream of Jesus is going to happen. And I really believe we're going to see this. We're going to witness this. It's very close, you know. It's very, very close. If Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end, we're really closer now than then. And it's great things are coming. The kingdom is coming. That's the main thing. The kingdom of God is coming on earth as it is in heaven to all those who long for it. All those who want it. God has to give everybody what they want. Volume 29, 217, 1931. Jesus said to Louisa, I deprive you of motion. I petrified you. I can say that I made you feel mortal pains and you would let me do it. This is this thing that is so amazing about Louisa. The more you learn about Louisa, I mean, when he said to Louisa when she was a teenager, go to bed and stay there. She went to bed and stayed there for the rest of her life. When the Lord said, stop eating, she stopped eating. When the Lord said, stop drinking, she stopped drinking. When the Lord said, stop sleeping, she stopped sleeping. And it wasn't easy. She was being obedient. Read when you read the 24 Hours of the Passion. And that's a good thing to read during Lent. What does she say? She says, Jesus, I'm so tired. I'm falling asleep. And she wanted to stay awake. She wanted to obey. That's the amazing thing. Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. Louisa was obedient and faithful. And that's why the Lord loved her so much and loves her so much. Great things are coming. Amazing things are coming. And so what is it? I deprived you of motion. Okay. So every night Louisa would become paralyzed. Father Bucci said that whenever time Jesus says, come with me, Jesus take Louisa and they tour the universe. And her socks, I mentioned that once before, her socks were dirty and ripped up. I remember seeing, I said, here's a girl in bed all day long and they give her these used socks, you know, but it wasn't. These are actually her socks that she walked around the universe with Jesus. He showed her what's coming. And, she's petrified, not petrified, but she was like a solid rock. So Father Bucci said, if she was saying, what's that over there? And Jesus came, she'd be paralyzed like that all night long until the priest came in the morning, and the priest would bless her with Holy God, Holy Mighty God, Holy Immortal God. And then she would come back to life. And this one priest didn't believe and didn't follow the instructions that the bishop gave him to be there every morning and to bring Louisa back. And so for 18 days, he said, no, I'm not going to go there. She doesn't need me. This is a waste of time. And then he went back and after 18 days, and there's Louisa, perfectly, you know, solid as a rock. Nobody could move her. Nobody could lift her. And the priest said, how long has she been like this? And they said, 18 days. And then he realized it was because of him. So he blessed her and she came back to life. And she said to him, thank you. She says, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't do anything for 18 days. And that's when he realized his duty and responsibility. But when you get to know who Louisa is, she is such an amazing soul that, I mean, Jesus crucified her every day. And so I deprived you of motion. I petrified you. I can say I made you feel mortal pains. Jesus crucified her every day. And every now and then, see, she said, Jesus said to Louisa, I'll receive the stigmata, but don't let anybody know. And Jesus says, okay. You know, Jesus is always agreeing with Louisa, but he has his way. And more than a couple of times, Aunt Rosaria would come into the room. That was Father Bucci's aunt who would take care of Louisa. And the whole bed was covered with blood. The whole floor was covered with blood. And Aunt Rosaria would run out and grab the towels and bring them in to sop up all the blood. And there would be nothing there. It would all be gone. And so this other time when Jesus said to Louisa, can I eat when you're eating? And Louisa's eating. He goes, yes. She says, don't let anybody know. And Jesus says, oh, okay. So as soon as she opened her mouth, there was this trumpet blast, and it was so loud. It was so loud. I mean, everybody was afraid. And Louisa's looking like, you said you weren't going to let anybody know about this. And Jesus says, wait till you see how people are going to respond when you, Louisa, blow the trumpet, when this trumpet is sounded again. So again, that's scriptural. That's the trumpet is going to be blown. The shofar is going to be blown, and the kingdom is close. The kingdom is close. So this is what he says. He says, I deprived you of motion. I petrified you. I can say I made you feel mortal pains. Like she would say to Jesus, why do I die every day and you bring me back to life? Why do you do this? If I'm going to die, she says, bring me to heaven. You know, why do I have to continue to stay here? I want heaven. And Jesus said very, very clearly to her that what he needs is he needs her obedience. He needs her to die and be reborn. He says, your rebirth is so important to me. I want to see you being reborn every minute, every second, every. So there has to be a death and a resurrection continuously. So he says, and this was nothing. He says, the strongest tie was that you would not go out of the state of pains in which your sacrificer, Jesus, had put you, if the priest would not come to call you to obedience. So here she says, but this is nothing. The strongest tie was you, Louisa, would now go out of this pain, this victimhood that you're in, and your sacrificer, the one who is sacrificing you, Jesus, had put you. And if my priest would not come to call you to obedience, basically, this is where you would be. So the priesthood is very important to Jesus. The priests are to, as Jesus tells Louisa, and you'll see this later on, the priests are the ones to lead people into heaven, to begin to live a life of heaven on earth. It's the priests are not, they're not to be a layperson. The priest has to be the shepherd. The priest has to be the one who leads the flock. The priest has to be the one to feed the flock. And again, this is why Jesus is saying this. This is what constituted you, Louisa, true victim. She was surrendered to the pains. She was a victim. Which the sacrificer Jesus had put her, and she was there until the priest called her back to come back to reality, out of that petrified state. He says, this is why you're a true victim. No sick person, not even the very prisoners, are denied motion and seeking help in extreme needs. So he says, this is where we're going to see. We're going to see this little one, this little newborn who suffered greatly. And she said to Jesus, because she understood the divine will, She said to Jesus, if it is needed that I die for each person so that they can receive the divine will, she says, I will die for them. Now, I know there are good people out there who, you know, have offered up their lives for, you know, in war and in, you know, situations. But Louisa basically said, I will die for every soul. She would say, she knows the divine will. She lived the divine will. She says, this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary is so important that if it is necessary, I will die for each person. When you get to know Louisa, when you're reading, when you get to know Louisa, you begin to understand how much Louisa loves us. This is why the little children of the Holy Divine Will, I was talking to a group, and I was talking about Mama Louisa, and they go, oh, we have a mother. We have the Blessed Mother. I said, oh, yes, yes, she's our mother. She's our queen. But we have a little Mama Louisa. They go, where do you get this? We've been reading the Divine Will for 15 years and we've never read it. And I went, you've never read about Louisa being our mother? And they go, never, ever. I said, how much have you read? And they go, we've read 1 through 3. I mean, you haven't read beyond 3? And they go, no. I said, no wonder you've never read it. I said, let me get it. So we put everything together and we've got 3 sections, 45 pages of Louisa, the little mama of the little children of the Holy Divine Will. And Jesus said to her, what I feed you with, all this great gift of the Divine Will, you are to feed the little children of the Holy Divine Will. You are to be like a mother to them. And then he says, aren't you happy? This is our God. Our God is, he's so in love with us that he gives us our own mother. He gives us Mary, mother of all humanity. And now for the little children, the Holy Divine Will, a third mother. And if you're in a convent, a fourth mother, a fifth mother. You know, it's God is so in love with us that he wants us to be nurtured. He wants us to be fed. It's just so astonishing what God is doing. So he says in volume 1932, and then the sacraments are received in time, places, and circumstances. Baptism is given only once and never again. The sacrament of penance is given when one falls into sin. My very sacramental life is given only once a day. And in this gap of time, the poor creature does not feel upon herself the strength, the help of the baptismal waters, the regeneration, regenerate her continuously, nor the sacramental words of the priest that fortify her in a continuous way by saying to her, I absolve you from your sins. So here, this is what Jesus is saying. Even though we're baptized, even though we receive Holy Communion, even though we receive confession, we don't feel fortified throughout the day. He says, I'm going to fortify you with the sacrament of sacraments. And that's what he calls the divine will. He calls the divine will the sacrament of sacraments. And I remember when I said that to Cardinal Burke, I said, I was talking to him about this. And I said, Jesus, you're now going to say that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And I'm reading this and Jesus says, it is. And then Cardinal Burke goes, give me that paper. And I said, well, this is for you. I want you to read this. What does Jesus mean? How can God be greater than God? It can't. But the effects, we receive Holy Communion, and for 15 minutes, we adore him. The Mass ends right after communion. We adore him. We love him. We praise him. We thank him. We bless him for 15 minutes. We are intimate with our God, in communion with our God, until the host dissolves. Jesus says, what the divine will is going to do is to bring us to a perennial communion that will never end, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. That's the divine will. That's what Adam had. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This gift, your whole life with God changes. It becomes more intimate. It becomes more beautiful. It becomes more powerful being closer to God. And this is why Jesus says, I want to give this to the priests first. Why? So that they can breathe this into their parish. They can breathe this into their community. They can fill my children, Jesus says, with this new and abundant life. So it's not that, the divine will is greater than, I mean, greater than God. How can God be greater than God? It's the divine will is opens the door to a different effect, a more powerful effect that basically changes the person. As Jesus says, it's not about transformation. It's about transmutation. And when you look up transmutation, transmutation is the element inside and inside and outside the element changes into a completely different element. That's what God is doing as he's breathing these divine treasures into us. As we get closer to the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfected as your Heavenly Father is perfect. As we get closer and closer to this life, what happens is everything changes for us. We are very close to the new heavens and the new earth. Very, very close to that. And this reality, I mean, human reality, is, as Our Lady said, this epoch, this era is coming to an end. The new era of sharing in divinity, the perennial communion, the new and divine way of holiness, they get ready for the new heavens and the new earth, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind, is very, very, very close. And our God is asking us, are you ready to begin to live this abundant life? And if we say, oh, I'd like that, God goes, good, continue to read, continue to study. Each person is going to learn exactly the way God wants to speak to them. Okay. It's not everybody learns the same. It's not the Baltimore Catechism where everybody knows the same answer. What's the question? Here's the answer. I mean, it's the way we have been, you know, your whole life, all that you've gone through from your conception on, everything that you've gone through, has caused us to be here now. And why? Because the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. And it's not very far away. When the kingdom of God is established on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one is going to be banished from earth. Why? He was banished from heaven. Heaven's coming to earth. Jesus says, this is what I've planned from the beginning. And he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So this is what he says very, very clearly. He says he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us to learn how to say fiat. Our Lady said, fiat mihi. You know, it's when the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God. She says, I vowed a life of virginity. I don't know man. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother of God? What do I need to do to help this come about? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, fiat mihi. Let it be done as you say. It's the same thing with the Book of Heaven. This is Luisa. Luisa echoed that fiat. What do I need to do to help you accomplish what you want to do with me? What do I need to do? How do I say yes to you? Show me what to do. God says, this is what I want. Go to bed, stay there. And when I tell you to write something, write it. And she goes, okay. She goes, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Jesus says, that's why I want to use you. So she wrote the Book of Heaven. And as we read the Book of Heaven, everything changes for us. This is really, really a glorious time to be alive. And it's an amazing Lent, an amazing time. So I end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all of the little children of the holy divine will become divinely healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.